Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. How you doing? It's a bit warm in here, isn't it? That's okay. You're going to get a little bit warmer in the next few minutes.
All right.
That's okay. It's been such a brilliant day. I've just got up this morning and kind of God was speaking to me about being a deliverer. I don't mean a postman. I mean he can move you and move me from old to new. I had the opportunity to be part of the Horsham congregation at the first service, and there was a massive response. I would say 90% of the people in the room all responded in some way, and that was kind of interesting. Then I did discover, which was good, because I've not done that in Horsham before, they're nowhere near as nice looking as you guys. Okay, anyway, they're nowhere near as good looking as you lot. I mean, you guys have just got something about you. Then I had, I think, 40 minutes to go home and have some lunch and then come back out again, come down here in the sun. And I'm just excited about tonight. I think God wants to set some people free this evening. I think God has determined to change our life tonight. I think he's made up his mind a few nights ago, more than we can count, that tonight he wants to speak to us, reveal himself to us and change us so that we just get changed in almost like a blink of an eye. So as we kind of just hear this... Such a complex person was Moses. I started to look at this and I thought, oh my goodness, what do I miss out? You know that Moses started life as a basket case? You know that, right? It was a basket case in deep water. And I looked at that and I thought, I can really resonate with that. I can understand a bloke like this. That's not quite the point of the whole evening, but for me it was quite liberating. This is part of our Walking with Heroes. We've already done all kinds of great men of God, and we're going to start looking at some women of God as well. And this one is about Moses. Just put him in a bit of a time frame. Moses lived around 1,500 years before Christ, about. But Moses, it says right in the beginning of Exodus, his mum was a Levite. Now, Levites came to become a particular kind of people because God wanted to use a particular tribe to always be before the throne of God and always be offering up prayers and offering up sacrifice. And they were chosen, the Levites, as, if you like, priests and prophets. So even though Moses ended up, for some of his early few months as a basket case, his ancestry was really, really precious to God. And what we want to look at tonight is asking this question that we've been asking every Sunday for the last few weeks is, if Moses was sat next to you right now, what would he want you to know? What would he want you to get so that you and I can not just hear the sound of loads of people saying, come on, you can do it, but actually inside of our lives, we know we can. Because there's a massive difference between being part of the crowd. And it talks about this in the book of Hebrews. It says there's a whole cloud saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And sometimes we hear it, sometimes we don't. But I think tonight God wants you to run a race, whether you hear the crowd or not. And tonight God wants to show us what a deliverer looks like, what walking as a hero that lives in deliverance looks like, sounds like, and how you and I can live that kind of life. Is anybody interested in that? Yeah. Just put your hands up if you are. Excellent. So we have to kind of pitch the story a little bit. Remember, going back to just a week ago, that Joseph, he kind of followed the destiny, the dream of God in his heart, and he actually ended up pretty much running Egypt. The only person that was his boss was Pharaoh, and at that time, Pharaoh was the boss of the planet. So to be second in charge to the boss of the planet was a pretty good job. But actually, Pharaoh, although he had all the prestige and all the dodgy pyramids and stuff, it was actually Joseph that saved the nation. If you remember, he had a vision, he had a dream, and God says, store up, because there's going to be famine. And because of Joseph's initiative, because of Joseph's wisdom, Egypt prospered. But how many of you know that God didn't just want to prosper Egypt because Joseph was there? God wanted to prosper his destiny that Joseph carried. And as I began to look at the life of Moses, I mean, I might be wrong here. I'm wrong a lot, but I might be wrong with this. I think Moses was the first Christian leader. He was a different kind of person from a Noah who carried a vision. God said, let's build a boat. He carried a vision of a boat. And he led his family. It was a bit different from Abraham and Isaac, who really looked after their immediate family and a few relatives and a few add-ons and a few in-laws. It was a bit different from Joseph, because Joseph carried a dream and he carried a passion in his heart to see his family restored and his family engaged. I believe Moses was the first Christian leader of other Christians. I think he was the first. So there's something very particular about Moses that I just think he would want us to learn. So the first thing is this. You can be a basket case. You can be a basket case. You can write that one down. It's really powerful. It will change your life. You can be a basket case. What I mean by that is it doesn't matter how you start. It doesn't matter where you started from. It doesn't matter that you were thrown in at the deep end of life. It doesn't matter. What matters is that someone will draw you out. Because actually Moses means drawn out. But actually it was a basket case. And it might be for some of you, it's like, I just feel as if I've been thrown in the deep end. Get used to it. Because the deep end is where we belong. We weren't made for shallows. In fact, in a lot of countries, the most dangerous animals live in the shallows. Jellyfish, crocodiles, alligators. Hello there. You can live in the shallows of life, but I think God wants us to live in the depths of it, in the deep parts. It's a bit scary, but it's safer there. So it doesn't matter where you started. You could have started as a chucked in the deep end. But God wants us to live in the depths. As Joseph's time came to an end, it became very clear that God's favor wasn't just on Joseph, but on his people. The Bible speaks about the Israelites who were living in Egypt began to prosper and they began to develop in their culture. They began to develop in their family life and they begin to grow and increase. Do you know why that is? It's the same reason then as it is for you. It's because God wants you to grow. He wants you to increase. And I think Moses would probably say to you, you might only be one person, but man, you can increase your potential by trusting in God. I believe everyone in this room has a capacity beyond our capability. I believe everybody in this room, the God-given capacity that you have is greater than our capability right now, which is why God wants to stretch us a bit. So I think Moses would say, it doesn't matter where you start, you can get chucked in at the deep end, just learn to swim. Just learn to flow with God in a new way. We're going to kind of dip in and out of Moses' life a little bit, but there's so much. There's a whole load of stuff written in the Bible about Moses, and I just want to pick out probably about 13 things. Is that okay? If you're a baker, you know that. That's a dozen. If you're superstitious, we love you anyway. Moses, when he was drawn out, he lived his early years in a life of tremendous privilege. He was seen as an heir of the whole dominion, the kingdom of Egypt, which was a very, very significant nation at this time. And yet he wasn't of that kind. That wasn't his innermost culture, if I can put it that way. And I think Moses would say to you, sometimes, and he did, you get frustrated. You have loads of stuff, loads of privilege, loads of opportunity. We can have loads of wealth in relationships, in resources. But man, there's a destiny-shaped hole inside of you, which only God's destiny can fill. It may be that we're doing everything that we know how to do, but something inside of us is still hungry. Yeah. Maybe it's just not quite. I know it's something. It's like that. And sometimes you get hungry. It's like, you know, do you want a Dorito? No, I don't want a Dorito. Do you want steak and chips? You know you're hungry, but you don't know what you're hungry for. And I think Moses would say to you, stay hungry. Because there's a God-given desire within you that only God can fulfill through you. And we find that in this kind of early stages, Moses in this phase that he was in Egypt for about 40 years. But in the middle of that, he saw some of his national people, some of the Israelites, some of the people who were part of just getting a tough time. He didn't make a law. He didn't command guards to sort it out because there was somebody else who had already said, actually, these guys are going to build us big cities with loads of bricks but with no straw. Did you read that in the Bible? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It's in Exodus in here, and it says, the quota of work increased, but the resources decreased. How many of you know that immaterial things, the only one thing that would increase is favour? You may be working really hard. You might be doing 100 hours a week. You might be working all the time. But God wants to increase his favour on you. It's not a result of your work ethic. It's a result of his destiny for you. But in this time, there was a bit of a fight, and there was an Egyptian guard or a overseer, and he was roughing up an Israeli worker, and Moses saw it, and there was just something caught his heart. And he didn't just tell this Egyptian off, he killed him. I think Moses would probably say something to you and me like this. You can see stuff going on around you. Man, you can feel frustration in your heart. You can feel as if there's got to be an alternative. But let God work it out before we try and work it out. Remember, God, Moses was seen in the Bible. We probably may see him now. There's loads of films and stuff about Moses. Charlton Heston, first film I ever saw. It's about 10 years long, that film. You kind of sit it and you've aged 40 years by the time you finished it. But right from the beginning, Moses was seen as a deliverer. And yet in this, God had to deliver Moses from himself first. So Moses intervened and he killed this Egyptian and he tried to hide it by burying him in some sand. I think Moses would say this to you. If you don't deal with issues properly, if you don't deal with them properly and bury them, they will come back and haunt you. If you don't resolve stuff, if we don't sort it out properly, one day it will come out the sand and it will haunt you. God wants to deliver us from sand. He wants to deliver us from stuff so that we live free and live clean from them. Is that okay to say that? So Moses found this. Actually, there's a better way of dealing with stuff, and it's God's way. So in Exodus 2 verse 12, it speaks about Moses killing this guy off and hiding him. And then he has a bit of an argument with someone. This person says, actually, we all know about you. We know you're a killer and you're a murderer. What a great reputation for the Prince of Egypt. Interesting. But actually, the Pharaoh had already murdered millions of people. And parallelism to that, to when Jesus was born. Same kind of thing was about to happen again. There's all kinds of stuff that will try and kill and destroy God's purpose for you. But there's a greater God who will deliver you from it and deliver you into his best for you. You might be struggling with physical symptoms, sicknesses. You might have a medical prognosis over you. You might have pains in your body. You'll have loads of things that are trying to steal, kill and destroy you. Let me tell you, God wants to deliver you. Not just from those symptoms, but from those things entirely. From every force and dynamic and power that is set against you, God wants to deliver you from those things. Why do I know that's true? Well, I remember at Sunday school going through all these plagues, and I thought, that's interesting, but why frogs? You know, is God got something against French people? What's all that about? Why boils? So I did a little bit of a study on the kind of gods that the Egyptians worshipped, and they worship frogs, they worship blood, they worship the River Nile, they worship boils. They make images out of them. God wanted to show Moses something really simply. That is that there's only one God and he has power over every other God. He has a greater authority than any other God. It was interesting that Moses had to see it just as much as Pharaoh had to see it. So every other God that the Egyptians worshipped, and these were the key 10, including human sacrifice, God had dominion over them all. And God dealt with them all and turned them all back on their enemies. I like that. I think Moses would say this to you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I think Moses would say this to you. If God is for you, who can stand against you? I think Moses would say this to you. Is greater is the power within you than the power that's around you. These are some of the things I think Moses would want us to understand. Moses had a tremendous signs and wonders ministry. Not like some, you know, business accountants. They sign a check and wonder where the money's coming from. It wasn't that kind of signs and wonders ministry. This was the signs of God's presence and things that happened that people looked at and wondered, how did that happen? I believe Moses would say this to us. These signs and wonders, these miracles didn't stop when Moses stopped any more than they started when Moses started. It's the presence of God. It's the purpose of God for you. I think Moses found something really important in this. That is that God has power to deliver his promise. That God has more power than you need to see your destiny fulfilled. I think Moses would want you to know that the power is not in your arm or in your strength or in your wisdom, but the power is in trusting Jesus. I think Moses would want us to know that too. It's not the power of our attendance or the power of our prayer or the power of our Bible study. It's the power of the presence of God. The Bible says that in the fullness of God, there is life. There's freedom. Hallelujah. Claire's trying to keep up in my Bible scriptures, but she probably won't. Just do your best. It's all right. Keep smiling. I suspect, like me as well, you remember the story. Moses was over 40. He'd left. He felt ashamed. He felt fear. And he ran into the wilderness. I have no idea what your wilderness world looks like. All I know is this. When Moses was in the wilderness, God found him. I believe God is a God of the wilderness. I have found nowhere in the entire Bible where people went into the wilderness and did not find God there. So I have no idea of what your wilderness is to you. It might be because you haven't prayed for a bit. It might be because you haven't heard the voice of God for a bit. It might be because you haven't been to Christian fellowship for a bit. It might be because you just think God is fed up with you. I have no idea. All I know is that God is a God of the wilderness. All I know is that God is so determined to deliver you from wilderness that even though there's a whole load of sheep around and a whole load of mountains around, he'll still say Moses to get your attention. This is strange, right? Unless this happened. Let's imagine for a moment that all these hundreds or thousands of sheep or goats, one of them was called Moses. Maybe it's a goat called Moses. Maybe it's a goat's friend called Moses. I have no idea. All I know is that Moses was out. He was just doing his own thing. And suddenly he saw this bush. There's a cellulose bush that is quite prevalent in that part of the world. They sometimes catch fire, but they don't speak to you very often. That's a good one. But I quite like this. Not only did this bush catch fire at the right time, it didn't get consumed, but it spoke. I think Moses would want to remind you, God calls you by name. I think God would, Moses would want to remind you and me that it's not about a corporate identity. It's about your personal call from God himself. I like the fact that God said, Moses, Moses. I don't think it was a sheep that went, meh, here I am, send me. I don't think there was a sheep called Moses. I don't think there was anybody else in the entire vicinity called Moses apart from Moses. But Moses would want you to know, I called you by name. And I will keep calling you by name. I will go on calling you by name because I'm so interested in delivering you. I think that's kind of smart. Does anybody else think that's smart? Yeah, that's good. I think that's good. Another 40 years goes from Moses leaving Egypt to going back to Egypt. He was an older guy. a wiser guy. He'd already had this tremendous encounter with this bush that Bert unspoke. But I just want to show you something really simple that happened. I need to borrow Josh. Josh, is that okay? We love Josh. Okay, I'll show you what I think happened in Exodus chapter 3. I'll be God, if you like, because I've got a microphone. So I must be God. This is Moses. He looks a bit like Joshua today. So here's a bush. Bernie. Here's Bernie. Here's Moses looking cool. Looking as if he's been out rounding up the sheep. And there's a whole lot of things go on here, and I'll just try and show you what I mean. First thing is, God says to Moses, come over here, mate. But take your shoes off. He's just got a bit lower. There's just a little bit less of him, a little bit more of me. Then there's a bit of a conversation. Hey, mate, I'm going to send you over there. And you're going to go and deliver my people. Moses says, me? You must be joking. Can you go down a bit? A little bit less of Moses. A little bit more of me. Actually, I'm going to give you the words to speak, right? And you're going to have to go. But you're going to have to speak the words that I give you. What does he say? I can't speak very well. He has to get a little bit lower. God gets a little bit bigger. He says, it's okay, because I'm going to go with you, right? And every time you say something, I'm going to be there to download it. And he still says, I am unworthy. Go down. God says, I am who I am. What's this all about? You're not the deliverer. You don't have to be. You just need to walk humbly with your God. There are not two I ams in your world. There's only one, and his name is God. And it's all right. When John the Baptist was around, pointing the finger, saying, someone's coming greater than me. What did he say? I must decrease so that he increases? No. He says, he must increase so that I decrease. Moses will say to you, I can guarantee this, it doesn't matter how small you think you are. Humble yourself before God. Even humble the small bit. Even bring a small bit into God's presence and you will leave a bigger person.
Amen. Thanks, mate.
So there's a conversation going on here. Why? Because there can only be one I am in your world, and it's not you. And it's not me. It's God. Hallelujah. I think Moses had to be delivered from Moses first. I think God had to set Moses free. Let's move on a little bit. Moses goes to Pharaoh. We've heard a little bit about that. He starts taking the people out. And he comes to an interesting scenario. Now, I haven't got time to go into all of this Bible study. Just read it through yourself if you have time. What God said was, take my people out of this nation. Take whatever you can with you and go to the place that I will show you. So here's Moses. No sat-nav, no ordnance survey map. All he has is faith in the word of God. But it's interesting though, because one of the things that Moses shows us, and this is demonstrated in the 81 times in the Old Testament it says, and God spoke to Moses, is that God speaks to people. And Moses would want to tell you, God doesn't just speak to Moses, he also wants to speak to you. He also wants to speak to me. I like that. There's far more around the Lord said to Moses, or the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, than there is Moses having a moan. I think what Moses would say is, if you hear God and do what he says, God will do the rest. But so we don't have to play guessing games, God speaks to Moses a lot. In fact, so much that one of the ways in which Moses is remembered is a friend of God. He wants us to be a friend of God too. Doesn't mean he's our best mate, because he's God. Doesn't mean we can go around and say, oh, he's our buddy who sits in heaven, because he's not that kind of God. He is an I am kind of God, who is almighty, powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, all those other things that I can't say without Andrew's teeth. He's not my mate. He's I am, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. But Moses will be able to tell you, You can still be a friend. How can you be a friend? Do what he tells you. Jesus even said this to his disciples after he'd been with them for a bit. He said, I'm not just going to call you servants or even disciples. I'm going to call you friends. Why? Because you've done the small things that I've asked you to do. Now I'm going to ask you to do a bit more. Then I'm going to ask you to do a bit more. How many of you want to do a bit more for God? Then just do the last thing he told you to do. Because Moses found out that he's on a journey of faith like we all are. He also learned this. You can't live with God just by taking two tablets. You're going to have to think about that one. You can't live with this friend. We can't live with God just by taking two tablets with a load of rules on it. Cling. Okay, it's a penny drop yet. You can't just take a tablet to live with God. You have to make a decision in your own heart to live with God. And there was a time where God was about to launch Moses into another phase, and Moses, he got a little bit concerned. He said, well, how are they going to tell that we're any different from anybody else unless you come with me? And he pleaded with God and said, I need to see a bit more of you. Come on, give me some help here. I need something new and fresh. Yes, I've heard your voice. I've seen signs and wonders. I've seen your power. I've followed, you know, fire in the night and pillar of smoke in the... I know how to follow God now. I know how to have bread and chicken every day. And I know how to walk every day for 40 years without my shoes wearing out. I bet the women in that camp were really annoyed with that. Same pair of shoes for 40 years. Don't think so. Yeah, hello there. But what Moses experienced, sometimes we can experience. When you're in between a rock and a hard place, you keep your trust in God and you'll see God in a fresh way. It says that God said, I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock. It was still a rock. It was a rock and a hard place. But he was a person of faith there. Something's about to happen. God is going to do something, show something, be something. It says that the whole of God's goodness walked past Moses. I think that's exciting. I don't know about you. I think that's incredible. But because God's a God of mercy, he said, you can't see my face because if you did, you'd die right now. And some of you might feel as if you're in between a rock and a hard place. Moses would say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because it was actually when the centurion's spear went into the side of Jesus on the mountain of crucifixion. And it says that a river of blood and water flowed out. That's the cleft of the rock that you and I are in when we give our lives to Jesus. Jesus was the rock in human form. We've got to be in between a rock and a hard place to see how God really is God. There's got to be a time when we just can't do it or move. And God will intervene on your behalf and my behalf. Is anybody making any sense out of this? Yeah. I've mentioned these tremendous miracles, these provisional miracles, these supernatural activities and expressions. We've also seen how really simply it was where Moses just heard God and just did what he said. Now there was one thing that Moses did in terms of that. And you may know it, you may not. He went up to a rock and everybody was thirsty. And they said, what are we going to do? Have a drink. And God said, well, you just got to go and sort this rock out. Give it a hit or something. And he went and did that. And guess what? It worked. However, when he was in the same kind of situation a bit later, he just thought God had said the same. But he didn't. And I think for some of us, we can experience God's presence in a certain way. We can enjoy God's presence in a certain way. If you want to go on the journey of faith with God, we just got to stay out of presumption and into a little bit of humility. God doesn't want to deliver you in the same way tomorrow as he did yesterday, but he does want to deliver you. God doesn't want to provide for you necessarily in the same way next week as he did last week, but he does want to provide for you. God doesn't necessarily want to speak to you in the word in the same way next week as he did last week, but he does want to speak to you. Let's not presume on God. It's a relationship, not a religion that we're in. And I don't know about you, you might have got a bit of trouble. Moses, he pays this tremendous cost. He starts as a basket case in deep water. He takes two tablets and then they get rejected. So God makes him two more. He doesn't have a happy time. And then just because he hit a rock twice rather than speak to it, you might think he lost out. Is that what you think? Because he didn't. My understanding is in the Bible, in the Promised Land, where Jesus went to have a prayer meeting one day and took three of his mates with him, who appeared? Moses did. I think because of God's favour towards Moses, because of God's mercy towards Moses, even though Moses mucked up once, he still entered into his inheritance. He still stood there with Elijah saying, I'm in the Promised Land. It might have taken a little while to get here, but hello, here I am. And Moses would want you to know, you can make a mistake and you will. You can make two mistakes and you will. But God will never, ever, ever judge you for that.
Come on.
Because mercy will triumph over judgment. And even though we might think, oh, well, you know, they missed this and it was only 4 years and they took 40. Who cares? What cares is God delivered them. What cares is God made a way for them. What cares is that God delivered them across the sea into the land of promise. And I think, and this is my own theory, right? Don't shoot me afterwards. They've never found where Moses was buried. I don't think he was. I think God just took him. And then one day just dropped him at a prayer meeting Jesus was having. That's only my theory. Some of you theological people might have an issue with that. Excellent. Go and read your word again and get God to speak to you. That's the point. All right? I think God's mercy towards Moses was greater than our theology. I think Moses will say this to you. Your inheritance is guaranteed. Just follow me to get it. Your inheritance is guaranteed. Just trust me and you'll live in it. Don't work it out on your own. Don't do it in your effort. Trust in my effort. Don't do it in your strength. Trust in my strength. We're going to do a bit of a challenge in a minute because there's two things that I know God wants to deliver us from. Okay, that's two things that God wants to deliver me from. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 is an interesting scripture. We may not have read it. We might have skipped over it. This is just before Moses is about to... Have you seen Prince of Egypt?
Yep.
He's about to put his staff in and the whole thing goes sideways. I've got a picture of Moses doing that, which Claire's going to put up on the screen. Aren't you, Claire? There's only two pictures. It's the other one. The other one. There you go. That's what happens to go fishing with Moses. Just a reminder. You can take it off now. Well done for finding it. There's a scripture here which God wants to be really real in our hearts when we leave tonight. And it's this. God has said to Moses, go to the land I'm going to show you. And he stood still for a moment, working out. How does this work? There's a big load of sea there. And there's a whole bunch of killers behind me. And he comes out with a very wonderful preach. Stand still and see the deliverance of our Lord. That was exactly the wrong message. God actually told him off and said, why you've stopped here, you idiot. God had already preached the message. Leave there and go right over there. But Moses stopped short. We think Moses was being really spiritual. Moses had been dumb. Moses for a moment just needed God to remind him, I am with you. And this is what happened. He says, hold out your staff. And I will part the waters and you will walk across on dry land. And he did. And Moses said something interesting. Remember there was a sound of war, sound of chariots coming. And the whole of Israel was afraid of those. They never had any. This is why Egyptians were so dominant. They had chariots and iron and big blades sticking out the wheels. They just desolated and desecrated everybody. There was a sound. They had spears and they'd bang them on their shields and they had helmets and they banged them. There was a sound of fear coming up behind them hard. The remembrance of 400 years of bondage, slavery, captivity, the lash, all of that stuff. That sound came with that sound. What did Moses say? Have a look, because you will never see these enemies again. Have a look at these guys coming. The dust, the sound, all the noise, because you're never going to see them again. I think tonight God's saying that about some people here. The sound that might be chasing you, the noise, all of the grief that tries to follow you. Let me tell you, God wants to deliver you from that. You're not going to see your enemies again. And whether it was the Red Sea, which is hundreds of feet deep, or whether it was the Reed Sea, which is just a foot deep, it's done a miracle. You try and drown an Egyptian army in a foot of water. So don't get your theology all caught up here. Oh, it wasn't really the Red Sea. I don't really care. What I care is God delivered the people and I never saw those enemies again. And God wants to remind you tonight, you might have all kinds of stuff going off. Oh, you're going to be like that. You're going to be like this. You're going to end up with this. You're not going to see those enemies again tonight. God wants to deliver you from those tonight. Hallelujah. And I never did. It's tremendous leading and following of God's voice led to the release of signs and wonders. I'm just going to find this scripture. Are you ready, Claire? It's this Mark 16 scripture. You ready? You done it? It's all a blank. No, it's not a blank. Come on, you can do it. I'll read it. These signs will follow those who believe. You're still in a signs and wonders ministry. We're still on our journey. God is still our deliverer. If you know Jesus and you know the power of God, you still have these things following you. You don't follow them, they follow you. We're not into, let's follow the spectacular, let's follow the prestigious. No, no, we want to follow the voice of God and do the last thing that God told us to do. These things follow us. Let's all stand up, shall we? I think Moses would have a lot to say. There's a lot more that Moses would have said, but we haven't got time. I'd encourage you to, if you want to find out how God can change one life, just read Exodus chapter 3. Pretty much the first 40 years of a man's life are totally changed in that one chapter. But how? Because this man meets God and his life is never the same again. It goes on that Moses was so passionate about spending time with God that he even built his own tent. And Moses would go into the tent, and God would go into the tent. And the different Moses would come out as a result. And when Moses was in the tent, there was a sign that God was there. The word is the glory came over it. Whatever to you that means. It can mean something, whatever it means. For me, it's presence. It's not some kind of funny light. It's just there's an aura. There's an atmosphere around it, which is a God-given atmosphere. Moses was the first person to have a tent of meeting. He was in there. And every time he came out, his face was like a Belisha beacon, shining. Patang, patang, patang. Why? Because he was on steroids? No, it was just reflecting the person he'd looked at. And yet it was temporary. Which is why he had to cover it. Why? Because he didn't want the people to get anxious. Why is it Moses' face shining? Where's God? The Bible says that today, you and me, if we know Jesus, we can meet with this same God of glory, but your face shines and it doesn't fade. It shines. Why? Because God's your deliverer tonight. Because he's in the tent. Because he's for you, not against you. Because the enemies that have been hounding you and provoking you and snapping at your heels and chap chap, you're not going to see those again after tonight. They're gone. They're toast. Those addictive things, those habitual things. No, they're all enemies that want to steal your destiny from you. But tonight, God's going to chase them for you. Just close your eyes. I'm just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you right now that by your spirit, by your presence, you just speak into every heart. You speak into every mind. It is finished. It is done. I have conquered and I have won. I thank you that by your Spirit, you just speak into our hearts, into our minds, into our bodies. I have delivered you. You shall not see these enemies again after today. What the enemy has set to pursue you, I pursue them. When the enemy has come upon you, they will flee in seven directions. What the world has purposed against you, I will override that purpose, because all things work together for those who are loved and called according to my purpose. Moses was just an aspect of the coming Christ, the deliverer, the one who moved in leadership of others with signs following him, who literally just did the last thing his father told him, just went the last place his father told him to go, just did the last thing the father told him to do. Moses was just a precursor of a Christ-like leader. But let me tell you this, it's the same God that speaks to you as it is that spoke to Moses. It's the same spiritual force, the person of the Holy Spirit that demonstrated himself through Moses. It's the same Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to ask you, just got 3 or 4 minutes till we close. I just want you to have a conversation with yourself. You might think, whatever you think, you might be used to talking to yourself. But I want you to talk to yourself a little bit like this. Father, I want to thank you that you've delivered me from the enemy. I thank you that you've set me free to be free. I thank you that you've taken me out of a slavishness and you brought me into a place of freedom. I thank you that no weapon fashioned against me will prosper. It just won't. I thank you that no word against me shall stick. I thank you that you deliver me tonight from a sense of effort and having to work to please you and to follow you. I thank you that you deliver me from that sense of striving instead of just following. I think Moses would say, you don't have to take a tablet to follow me. You need to give your life to Jesus and follow me. You don't have to follow the law. The law just showed everybody you can't do it. Moses would say, don't take a tablet. Get on to Jesus. Who is the way? Who is the truth? And who is the life? Father, I want to thank you right now that you're setting people free in their physical bodies. I just speak a curse over every sickness. I want to thank you that you break the power of sickness. You've broken the power of sickness and you've delivered us from the curse of sickness. I thank you for the power of addictions are broken because you've set us free from the power of addictions. You've broken every addictive power and you've delivered us from it in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you from any sense of just slavishness and religion and a sense of just being restricted. You've delivered us from bondage. You've delivered us from restrictive practice and you brought us into the freedom of the sons of God. I just thank you for freedom over people's minds tonight. I thank you for freedom over people's bodies tonight. I thank you that you are delivering us tonight, oh God, in exactly the same way you always have. Through your word and through your spirit. Remember this. Jesus said of himself, I haven't come to judge or criticize you because that's not how you get delivered. He says, I've come to take the whole of that onto my own life and break its hold. Every accusation, every lie, every wrongdoing and every consequence of it, Jesus took the lot and said, I'm going to break the power of all of these things for you. And I'm going to deliver you from them permanently. Once and for all, the Bible says. And I want to thank you that tonight, Holy Spirit, if there's people here that just don't know you, I thank you that tonight they can. I thank you that tonight they'd be able to do that. I thank you for the opportunity to be delivered, to be set free from our past and set free from the curse of sickness and death. I thank you. Come on, let's just give him some praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.